Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We will read the same verses that we read last week, actually. Last week we began looking at, in Hebrews chapter 11 here, at some of those who are maybe not specifically named in the same way that others were. We've talked about the faith of Moses. We've talked about the faith of Abraham and specific things that they accomplished with their faith. And then, as we mentioned last week, the apostle gets to the place where he's saying, I don't have enough time to keep going into great detail about all the different ones and exactly how they accomplish certain things by faith. And so he says in verse number 32, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And so he begins to summarize some of the people and summarize some of the accomplishments of their faith. We need to realize that God didn't use up all his power at creation. God didn't use up all his power when he opened up the Red Sea. God didn't use up all his power when he gave a child to a couple who were very elderly and so on. And all these different things that we realize God did, we say, wow. Don't think that God is done being able to do great things. He's still able to do great things today. And Gideon recognized that. We looked at that last week as we looked at Gideon. And he said, if God's with us, where are all the great things that we've heard that God could do before? And Gideon was reminded that God was still able to do great things. And we need to be reminded of that today as well, that God is still able to do great things as he has done in days gone by. His power is infinite. But we must trust him to see him do those great things in our lives and through our lives. But it may be that you have, as I'm sure all of us have, at some point in their life, felt like you would trust God, but you just needed that extra assurance. You needed that extra encouragement maybe from somebody else. And you say, well, I'd love to trust God, but boy, if someone would just come alongside me and just be a help and a support to me, then I think I'd be able to trust God some more and do some greater things in my life and see God do some great things with me and with my faith. You see, our faith sometimes can be weak. And it seems like we just need that. Somebody else's encouragement, somebody else's strength and their faith to help us and encourage us in our faith. You know that we see in our text here that this morning we'll look at and go back to look at the life of Barak, exactly that situation. Barak was one who, according to what we just read, acted by faith. But when we look at his life back in Judges chapter number 4, as we will this morning, we say, boy, his faith wasn't that strong. He needed, as we will see, the encouragement and the support of somebody else. We get the idea sometimes that unless our faith is like the faith of Abraham, or unless our faith is like the faith of Moses, who seemingly had such great faith that God can't do great things in our lives. That it's going to take a stronger faith than we can ever have. But as we saw last week with Gideon, faith is strengthened as we go along in the Christian life. Our faith grows. And there are times as we look at this morning that we need to have others come alongside us to encourage our faith. And this morning I'd like us to consider this thought from the message, and that is strengthened by the faith of others. Strengthened by the faith of others. And this morning you may be here and you may say, I just need somebody to come alongside me to walk this path with me, to give me the strength that I need to carry on. God desires to do that. God often sends people along to help us and to encourage us in our faith. And sometimes he sends us alongside somebody else to encourage their faith. But as we see in our text this morning, we'll look back to Judges chapter number 4 in just a moment. This thought of being strengthened by the faith of others. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again that we can come to this place, and thank you for the scripture that we're able to read this morning, both here in Hebrews and back in the book of Judges chapter number 4. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to glean from the message that which we need to today. And Lord, I pray that we would realize that it may be that our faith just needs that encouragement from others. Or Lord, it may be that we can be one whose faith encourages another. And Lord, I pray that we see the need of our life today. And Lord, that you speak to each one of our hearts, that we may leave here knowing that we have heard from you. And Lord, that you've spoken to our hearts, that we'd have something to ponder as we leave and think about for the afternoon and the week to come. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn back to Judges chapter number 4, and we'll see the life of this man named Barak. His name is not as familiar as Gideon, as we looked at last week. As we mentioned last week, the names in Hebrews chapter 11 aren't necessarily in order of the time frame. And this morning proves that, because last week we were in Judges chapter 6 and 7. Today we're back in chapter 4, and yet it's a continuation of the verses that we read from last week. I'd like us to consider, first of all, this morning, Barak's day. Barak's day, the time frame of the time that he lived. And again, sometimes we get the idea that they had it easier in Bible times, and that it was an easier day to live for God. It was an easier day to express faith in God. But I think we'll see that the day of Barak was a lot like the day in which we live. It says in Judges chapter 4, verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel." See the time frame that they lived in here. They were under oppression. It was a dark day. You know, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 24 and in Judges chapter 2 that Israel, when they first were in the promised land, they lived for God all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who were alongside Joshua, who outlived Joshua. But after that, they started to worship the gods of the land. After that, they turned away from God. And we talked about it last week, that cycle of them turning from God and God allowing enemy nations to oppress them. And then they cried out to God and God sent a deliverer, and then they were freed and they served God for a while. And it was a constant cycle that they were facing time after time after time. And here we see that pictured here, that they did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And they were oppressed by this man, Jabin, the king of Canaan, and served him for 20 years. And the Bible tells us he had 900 chariots of iron. I mean, this was a mighty nation that conquered them. But it shouldn't have happened. They should have kept serving God. But they didn't pass on their faith to their children and so on, as we read that they were commanded to do in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And so there was that cycle of rebellion against God, as we mentioned. We see as well during the whole book of Judges that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They didn't live an absolute righteous life. They did that which they thought was right in their own eyes. Now, do we not live in such a day today where everyone does that which is right in their own eyes? I have my rights. I'm going to say that I want... And people do that which is right in their own eyes. And yet the Bible tells us that the ways of man lead to death. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we get recognized the day in which he lived was a dark day. It was a discouraging day. It was a difficult day for Israel. And yet we realize that God did not leave himself without witness, because it says in verse number 4, "And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." God didn't leave himself without witness. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4:14, he left not himself without witness. You realize that when the thought of man's heart was only evil continually, Noah preached righteousness. When they were, all the people of Israel were following Baal, and Ahab the king was leading Israel to worship Baal, God had Elijah, And by the way, 7,000 others who had not bowed the knee to Baal. See, God has His people. God has a witness even during difficult times. And here was a difficult time, and God had a person, a woman named Deborah, who was a godly woman. She was the prophetess, and the children of Israel went to her, as we just read. She was a judge. She judged Israel. She was one to whom God had given wisdom to teach the children of Israel. It's interesting that it's a woman that's used to judge Israel at this time. I wonder if it was because Jabin didn't mind that. Jabin was the king who oppressed them, but maybe he didn't feel threatened that, well, it's just a woman that's leading them. I don't know whether that was the case. Maybe he was discriminatory in that way, and he would have been upset by a man being a judge and fearing that. But there didn't seem to be any fear in Jabin, the king's, mind about this. But the Israelites came to Deborah, and they asked counsel of the Lord through her, and she told them what God would have them to do. And this is the day that Barak lived and was called to deliver Israel. But who was Barak? I mean, I don't know about you. The first thing I think of barracks is the, you know, a place where soldiers are, the soldiers' barracks. But this is the man's name, Barak. He was the deliverer. In mercy, God had prepared a deliverer to deliver Israel. You realize Israel didn't deserve it. They turned knowingly away from God. They had the law. They had the promises of God that if they would serve God, God would keep them in the land, and if they turned against God, that God would deliver them into the hand of the enemy. They knew what they should have done, and yet still they turned away from God. But God in His mercy heard their cry, and He sent a deliverer to deliver them. One who would deliver them from the bondage of Jabin, the king of Canaan. It reminds me that God has sent us a deliverer. His name is Jesus. And He came not to deliver us from political oppression, but He came to deliver us from our sin. You realize that too is the mercy of God, because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve God's love demonstrated towards us, and yet God in His love and the fullness of time sent Jesus Christ to deliver us from bondage. Deliver us from the bondage of sin. Sin and Satan have more people in bondage than any king or nation has ever bound people. And any nation that ever bound Israel and had Israel in oppression. Sin and Satan have people bound by sin. The Bible says that all of us have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. But the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life, and God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you received God's deliverance from sin? God's deliverance from the wages of sin? It's only by faith in Jesus Christ. But in this day, God sent Barak, the deliverer, to deliver Israel from the bondage of this king of Canaan. Look with me in verse number 6. We find that he was a chosen vessel. It says that Deborah, in verse number 5, sent and called Barak, verse 6, the son of Ahinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun? Here we realize Deborah sent and called particularly for Barak. Deborah, who God had given that position of a judge of Israel and a prophetess, sent and called specifically to Barak and said, Barak, God's got a job for you. God is calling you to do something great to deliver Israel. God had shown Deborah somehow that Barak was the one who would deliver Israel. He was the chosen vessel of God to deliver Israel from the oppression of Jabin. But he was reluctant. He didn't say, yeah, that's right, that's me, I'm going. He was a reluctant vessel. Read the rest of the verses down with me to verse number 14. It says in verse 7, And I will draw unto thee, to the river of Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then will I go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent in the plain of Zaanan, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up! For this is the day which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. Do you see what it says there? That he was not really very anxious to go, was he? He was a reluctant vessel. God had chosen him for the task, and he seemed to know that, because Deborah said to him, Has not the Lord commanded? God had a plan. It seemed like she knew that he knew that he was supposed to be the one to lead Israel. But he didn't come and say, Hey, Deborah, I'm ready to do what God says. What's the plan? He was reluctant to go. God had called him, but perhaps it was a lack of faith on his behalf that he was kind of saying, Well, I'm just going to sit here quiet, and if nobody says anything, I'm not going to say anything. It was a faith issue, I believe, that was the situation here. This was no small task. Remember, this king had 900 chariots of iron. He had a mighty army. There was a multitude of his warriors there ready to fight. It would take God to deliver them, and it would take faith to trust God in order to say, Yes, I will be the one. Not all of us are willing to heed God's desire for our life in the first place, are we? Sometimes we say, I don't know that I'm quite ready for that. And we know sometimes that God wants us to do something, and we just kind of wait until somebody says, Hey, can I get you to do this? And you say, okay, I guess so, maybe. That was the situation here. He was reluctant to do what God would have him to do. Sometimes in our lives, like in his, it's a lack of faith. We say, I can't do that. But if God has called us to do it, he will equip us to do it. He was reluctant, and he was, we might say, weak. His reluctance was a weakness. He said, If Deborah, if you'll go with me, then I will go. What was it? Did he think that she would say, I'm not going to the battle? Was he going to use her as an excuse? Or was it just that he needed to know without a doubt that God was with him? And he was the prophetess, he was the judge, and he said, If you're with me, then I'll go. You know, God, according to what Deborah says to him, had promised to deliver Jabin's army into his hand. It says that in the verses we read, in verses 6 and 7, it says God had a plan. God had the plan already, and it seemed like he'd already given Barak this plan. Because when she sent and called for Barak, she said, Hath not the Lord commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army with his chariots, and I will deliver him into thine hand. There was God's promise. You know, Barak didn't need Deborah to go along. Barak already knew what God had said. Barak already had the promise of God that this was going to take place. He didn't really need Deborah to be with him when he had the promise of God's presence. But because his faith was weak, he said, I will go, but I need your encouragement. I need your support. Will you come along with me? If you will come, then I will go. Like Gideon, who we looked at last week, who said, Okay, Lord, I'll do it, but first of all, can you make the dew only on the fleece? Then I'll believe you. Okay, now you did that, Lord, now can you make the dew on the ground and not on the fleece? You know, when God calls us to serve Him or to follow Him, He is all we need. He should be all we need. He is all we need. He is our very present help in trouble. He is the one who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And as somebody has said, the will of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. He is the only one that we need. And yet sometimes we're just like Barak, aren't we? We say, well, yeah, that's okay, but I don't think I can do this alone. I need somebody to come alongside me. When we have the assurance of His leading and the promise of His presence, we need not fear, but still sometimes we are weak and feel we need the company of others who are trusting God to come alongside us. That was Barak's situation. And yet, having said that, we have seen that he was an obedient vessel, wasn't he? He was reluctant and he was weak, but when push came to shove, he did the job. He followed through with God's plan. Though he required the accompaniment of Deborah, he was willing to go when she said that she would go. You ever had somebody say, well, I'll try it if you'll try it. Maybe some food, and you say, I never tried this before. I never tried it before either. Why don't you have a bite of it? Nah, if you will, I will. And then they do, and you say, no, I don't want to do it anyway. Right? That's what sometimes people do, isn't it? That wasn't Barak, though. He didn't say, okay, Deborah, if you'll come with me, I'll go. And then when Deborah came, he just said, oh, now what? I think of another excuse. I think my mom needs me at home. I got to go back. No, he didn't. He followed through, didn't he? He was reluctant to go, but ultimately he did follow through and he did do what God had called him to do. When he had the confidence of Deborah's faith, he was willing to go. He trusted God's leading through Deborah. And when God said it's time to go, he went. And once he was willing to go, he didn't back out halfway through. He finished the job. He completed the task that God had called him to do. Again, sometimes we feel that if we're a little bit weak in our faith, sometimes we think, well, I just don't think I can do that. And I don't think God could use me if I don't feel like I can do that. But here was a man who, according to Hebrews chapter 11, acted in faith. We look at it and say, where was his faith? He had to have someone else come along with him. What did Deborah do? Deborah strengthened the faith of Barak. Deborah's coming alongside Barak made Barak say, God is in this and God can do this. He needed that extra encouragement. He needed that support. And then he did trust God by faith. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in Hebrews chapter 11. See, it's not Deborah's name that's in Hebrews chapter 11. It's Barak's name, who by faith accomplished the task that God had called him to do. Don't feel that if you are, maybe your faith feels a little bit weak, don't feel, well, God can't use me because I don't have Moses kind of faith. God can use us. He wants to use us. He wants us to trust Him. And it may be that we need to have that boost of somebody else coming alongside us, but God desires us to trust Him by faith. And He will honor our faith. It may be that God has called you to come alongside somebody else to be the booster for their faith. And it may be that you're the one that comes alongside and say, yeah, you can do this. If God's in it, God will help you and I'll be right here with you and you can get this job done. You can do what God would have you to do. I believe that ultimately Barak was also a humble person, a humble vessel, because in verse number 9, when she says, I will go with you, but when you're done this journey, you're not going to get any honor for it. He didn't back out. He didn't say, now hold on a minute, if I'm in charge of this army, it doesn't matter that you're coming with me, I'm still the guy that gets the glory for it. No, he said, okay, whatever it takes, but we just need to get the job done. He had a humble heart. Normally, the commander who delivered a nation from another nation's oppression would be the one that got the glory, got the fame. But Deborah said, listen, Barak, if you need me to come alongside you, you're not going to get the glory for this. You're not going to be honored for this. A woman is going to be honored for this. And ultimately, that's exactly what took place. And it wasn't Deborah either, by the way. As we see, it was a third party. But I believe that Barak, though perhaps lacking in his faith, was ultimately more concerned about Israel being delivered than about himself getting the glory. because he was still willing to go when he was told that he wouldn't receive the glory for what he did. Yes, Deborah's company was comforting, but it was also showed his humble heart. God could use Barak because he was humble, because the Bible reminds us that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So many people are concerned about who is acknowledged. Well, will people recognize it's all that I did it? Well, if it's about the Lord's work, really, who cares if you get recognized for what you're doing? Don't worry about being recognized. The glory belongs to God for anything good that is accomplished. And Barak ultimately said, I'll go. I'll go, even though people may not recognize me as being the one who accomplished the task. And so Barak went. So we've seen Barak's day and we've seen Barak the deliverer. Now we see Barak's deliverance, how God delivered Barak in this situation. Verse 15, the Bible said, and the Lord discomforted Sisera and all his chariots and all his host with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is no man here? Thou shalt say, no. Now if you're thinking about lunch, just put lunch aside for a minute, because we're going to read a little bit of a gory part of the story here, all right? It says there in verse number 21, then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took an hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin king of Canaan until they had destroyed Jabin king of Canaan. You see what happened here? God gave the victory to Barak's army. Because Barak acted in faith, Israel was delivered in that situation. Do you realize that according to what we just read here and comparing it with what we read at the beginning in Hebrews chapter number 11, that God honored an imperfect faith? Barak's faith was a little lacking. But God didn't say, if you're not going to trust me, if you're not going to do it by yourself, Barak, I'm not going to deliver. God honored the faith of Barak, even though we may say it was somewhat lacking. It wasn't as strong as it should have been. He was reluctant to go. He needed the encouragement and support of Deborah, but Barak ultimately trusted God and saw a great victory that day. And the enemy was defeated because of Barak's faith. According to Hebrews chapter 11, it was by faith that Barak did this, and the enemy was ultimately defeated. God used Barak, God used the army of Israel, and God used Jael to defeat Sisera and Jabin's army. Barak's faith was weak, and it needed the encouragement of another, but God honored his faith. Again, sometimes we think, well, if my faith's not a perfect faith, then God can't use me. You realize that you may be acting by faith, you still have butterflies in your stomach? Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is saying, I'm going to trust God anyway. Faith is deciding that I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do regardless. Sometimes we may say, God wants me to speak to this person. God wants me to talk to this person. And boy, the butterflies are in my stomach. And we may say, well, we swallow hard and say, I'm going to do it. That's faith. Faith isn't just saying, I've got no fear. I don't worry about anything now because I'm trusting God. Sometimes faith can be that strong, but all faith is not that strong, is it? But faith is ultimately taking God at His word and saying, I'm going to do it anyway. Don't you think there was probably some fear in the heart and the life of all these people we've read about in Hebrews chapter 11? I think there was. They were human beings just like you and I. Just some of them it was more obvious than in others. Gideon we can relate to because he said, I need this confirmation. Barak we can relate to because he said, I will do it, but I'd like somebody else to come alongside me. But we recognize that God honors faith, and our faith, He knows our frame, He knows our weaknesses. He knows the weakness of our faith. And if God can use a faith like Barak's, He can use a faith like ours. He can use us. We may be the one who needs the support of somebody else. We may be the one who says, I'll do it, but I don't think I can do it by myself. If you'll come alongside me, I will do it. If you will help me, I will do it. I will do what God desires for me to do. Or you may be the one who is the one that, the Deborah, the one who says, yes, you can do it. You may be the one that God has come alongside somebody else to encourage them in their faith and to go on to see a great victory in their life because they trusted God by faith. If we had time to look at all of chapter number 5, we'd find that Barak gave the glory to God in the end. Barak's faith was an imperfect faith, but at the end of the day, Barak said, God is God, and God's done great things. He didn't say, wow, look what I did. He said, look what God has done. And Judges chapter 5 is a record of the song that Deborah and Barak sang in celebration of the victory that God had given to them. You realize that Barak praised God for the victory that was given after it was over as well? He didn't change the tune and say, yeah, look what I did. Look what I did in this situation. No, he gave the glory to God. You ever noticed in the lives of, sometimes in our life that we were tentative about doing something, we go forward, we trust God, and we, in the time when we're doing it, we say, oh Lord, I need you to be here and help me in this. And after it's done, we say, boy, that was great. I sure did a good job with that, didn't I? That wasn't Barak. Barak gave the testimony to the fact in chapter 5 that it was God who gave the victory. It was the other people who were involved that were participants in the situation that saw the victory come to pass. He even said, as they sang that song, they praised that woman Jael who used that tent peg to kill the enemy. By the way, we looked at that a few weeks ago in our study on Wednesday night when we were looking at the Bible customs. Say, well, that's something else. That was a woman with a tent peg that did that. But according to what we read of the customs of the day, the women did set up the tents. So if you're going camping this summer, say to your wife, "Here's the tent. Set her up. I'll be back." No, that's not what I'm saying. I get myself in big trouble with that one. Even though we don't go tenting, anyways, we go usually stay in motel. My wife doesn't really have interest in staying in a tent, so. Be okay. Set up the tent. All right, I'll phone the motel. Right? That'd be our way. But no, apparently the women set up the tent. So they were used to swinging that thing and driving that tent peg into the ground. So I suppose that's why Jael had that handy, and she knew exactly what to do with that. And she was used to deliver Israel from the enemy. But realize today when we trust God by faith and see Him do something in our lives, we need to praise Him for that. We need to give Him the glory for that. That was the testimony of Barak. Who was Barak? Barak was a reluctant person, wasn't he? He was a reluctant vessel, and yet his faith was strengthened by the faith of another. Somebody else came alongside him and encouraged him in his faith, and thus he trusted God to give a victory. And God did give a great victory. Perhaps God is calling you to trust Him, but you're reluctant to respond. Maybe encouraged today to realize that maybe God has given somebody else in your life to come alongside you, to help you in that situation. You know, sometimes there are people who God is speaking to their heart about being saved and being born again, maybe even in a church service. And sometimes somebody else that may be beside them will come alongside them and say, would you like to be saved today? and encourage them to take that step of faith and believe in Jesus Christ. Encourage them to trust Him as their Savior. And Jesus came to save us. And if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, may you realize this morning that those of us who have are here saying, we're here to support you. We're here to encourage you. We're here to point you to Jesus Christ who can save you. Christian, maybe you felt that your faith was too weak to be used of God. Say, I just, my faith isn't a Moses faith. My faith isn't a parting the Red Sea kind of faith. But maybe you've seen yourself in Barak this morning and realize that God doesn't expect a perfect faith. We're all at different stages of our life and our faith as we looked at last week. But you can step out by faith and trust God. And God will bring along people beside you who will encourage you to continue to trust God and to take that step of faith. And it may be this morning, as we've looked at the message, that you see yourself as the Deborah in the story. You say, I just like to help somebody and encourage somebody in their faith. And be an encouragement to others in their faith. They may need that. They may need you to tap them on the shoulder and say, would you like to be saved? I'll go with you to the front. I'll go with you. I'll take a Bible and I'll show you how to trust Jesus Christ. Or to go to another Christian and say, hey, you can do it. If God's called you to do it, you can do it. I'll be an encouragement to you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray with you that God would help you in this. You see, there are times in our life when we need to be strengthened by the faith of others. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time, and thank you for the story of Barak. Lord, we recognize that we can see ourselves in this story, whether it be as Barak or whether it be as Deborah. Lord, we recognize often it is as Barak. Lord, we want to trust you and we know that you're able, and yet there's just that reluctance there. And by somebody else coming alongside us, Lord, we can be strengthened to trust you and be encouraged to trust you with our life. Lord, thank you that you've recorded the stories of such people as Barak. Lord, such people that we can see our own weaknesses in and realize that you desire to use all of us. Lord, that you have a place and a plan for all of us, and we need to step out and trust you, even if it be that our faith is trembling. And so I pray you'd help us to see where we fit into this message this morning. Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today they would realize that Jesus is the only one who can deliver them from their sin. Lord, nothing else, nobody else can save them but Jesus, and Jesus can. And may they be saved today. May they trust and place their faith in Jesus as their own personal Lord and Savior today. And Lord, for those of us who are Christians, again, I pray that we would see our place. And if it be that you're calling us to do something, again, may we be willing to step out and trust you. To serve you in some way, Lord, perhaps we've been reluctant to do so because we felt unworthy or we felt weak in our faith. But Lord, may we be encouraged to trust you today, to follow you in that which you've called us to do. But Lord, may also we realize our place as Christians. You've called us as Christians to be an encouragement one to another. You've told us that we are to edify one another. Lord, that's to build up. And it may be that we need to act as Deborah did in our story today. We may need to go alongside somebody else to encourage them in their faith to go forward in their walk with you. So Lord, help us to see and to know you're speaking to our heart this morning, where we need it in our life. For you do know exactly where we're at in our life this morning. So speak to us, I pray, during this invitation. For we ask it in Jesus' name.